This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Last play of the half, on time down. Reynolds throws, traffic caught by Jackson at the 1 yard line. And he is down, and the half should be over. Now the snap's away on 4th and 5. They run the option. It's an option pass. Simmons has a man. Louis! Touchdown, Litchfield! Oh, the option pass.
Wow.
Halfback on 4th and 5. Touchdown.
WSMI Sports Saturday is brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Alan Poganpole, your country financial agent in Raymond. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. St. Louis Regional Airport in East Alton. State Farm Insurance Agent Mark Steeren in Litchfield. Hillsboro Energy. Country Financial Agent Nathan Clements in Nokomis. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. And by German Seed and Chemical LTD.
It's all about M-O-N-E-Y.
And now it's time for Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.
And a very good Saturday morning. Tim Mize, David Jenkins, and T-Toad with you. And, well, this time a week ago, the Cardinals were leading the Cubs 1-0 in the best of 5 playoff series. And what, about 7 hours from now, old Jaime Garcia wet the bed and sank the Cardinals season.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgot to throw
That's
home.
How I see it. Oh, I don't
is,
know.
That, is that how you call it?
That's okay. How I see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, toss the ball home, and he's out by 20 feet.
Yeah, well.
You're winning the game 1-0, 2 outs, runner on 2nd.
When you don't listen to the Yachty.
Yeah. And Yachty you should trust. You listen to him all year.
Yeah. You listen to him for every pitch.
Here's another thing. Okay, Yachty's on the roster, and he's in the lineup. Why is he hitting ahead of Colton Wong when he can't hit?
Well, that's a different discussion for a different time. Right there.
Because Colton was actually hitting well the first few games of the series, but the problem was he was hitting with either 2 outs or... There were 2 outs by the time he got on, and the pitcher was coming up. So it was like, really?
By the way, the Cardinals always hit with 2 outs, okay?
Always, yeah.
There's always 2 outs.
At the end of the day, they were out of gas. The pitching was not good enough against the Cubs.
And we talk so many times about how the teams that have to battle for the wild card berth now are the hot teams going into baseball because their backs are against the wall for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season. And, you know, they are the hot teams. And I think this was a perfect example of – you know, the Cubs being the hot team in baseball. Absolutely.
And second half of the year, they have been the best team in baseball in terms of record and the way they've been playing. And throughout the Cardinals season, the question was, well, how long can they keep this up? What's going to be the injury?
Well,
the calendar hit September, and all of a sudden, it's like they were just out of gas and finished. And they never really were able to recover. And, hey, you can't win it every year. What an NLCS this is going to be.
Oh.
The Mets got the young studs starting pitching, you know, 24 and under with Harvey, DeGrom, and Syndergaard. The Cubs, obviously, with their power hitters that are all young. What a series.
And a guy named Arrieta and Lester. Oh, I mean, goodness. Not too shabby.
Somebody's going to win the World Series for the first time in over 20 years.
But you think about it, the Cubs went with the young power bats.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets went with the young power arms. Now here they both are.
Their combined payroll this year is less than the Dodgers. The Cubs and the Mets.
Wow.
The Dodgers.
I think Don Mattingly's probably going to be looking for another
$1 billion dollars just doesn't get you what it used to, you know? Just doesn't get you.
No.
Goodness gracious. So
that was not shocking, though.
No. But it's a fun time of the year to be a sports fan, obviously, professionally, with the baseball playoffs underway and high school football playoffs 2 weeks away. Hard to believe, just 1 week left in the regular season. And last night at Hillsboro, in a game heard on 105.3 The Ox, it was an absolute thriller between Litchfield and Hillsboro as Litchfield gets the win 18-13. This game had a little bit of everything. Craziness at the end of the first half. We had an untimed down for Hillsboro. They end up getting stopped at the 1 yard line. Litchfield takes a lead late in the fourth quarter on a halfback pass for a touchdown. It was wild and woolly, as you would say, T.
Well, and it kind of reminded me of the
and
the,
full
the,
of fleas.
Yeah, full of fleas. It kind of reminded me of the Toronto game, you know, where the bat, you know, the catcher throwing the ball back and deflecting off the bat, and just a strange series of events that you normally don't see. And that was a great example of it there at the football game last night. I'm going, okay. And you had a chance to talk with Louis this morning.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. But at the end of the half, it was officiated properly as a pass interference penalty on Litchfield gave Hillsborough an untimed down. Mm-hmm. And then before the snap, Hillsborough was called for a motion penalty.
Yeah.
But there is not a runoff associated with that for an untimed down. So they were allowed to run the play, which was how it should have been. And they got stopped at the one-yard line. And we're in America, not Canada, so nobody threw any debris onto the field like they did up in Toronto that day.
Wasn't that just Bush
League?
They
had anger debris and then celebratory debris.
Yeah.
Canadians. Too much Molson. It's running through the blood up there.
What happens when you don't get to the playoffs for 20 years and that then you're that close?
That is exactly right. So Litchfield now a win away from the playoffs. They beat Carlinville next week at home. Litchfield will be 5-4 and playoff eligible. With the loss, Hillsborough drops to 4-4. They've now lost three games in a row, and they need a win at undefeated Pena next week to get playoff eligible. Carlinville blanked Southwestern last night 28-0. Carlinville improves to 6-2 on the year. Greenville picked up their third win as they got past Gillespie 52-12. It was Roxana shutting out Staunton 52-0. The Shells also improving to 6-2. And we mentioned Pena, they are still undefeated. A good win at Vandalia last night, 21-13. And that Pena-Vandalia game, that's always just kind of a slugfest, no matter what the records are for either team. That usually, to me, kind of has a Litchfield-Hillsborough type of feel where it's always close and it's always... Yeah.
I had told Carl yesterday during the day I thought Vandalia might get them because it was at Vandalia. And those are the two places in the South Central Conference, Vandalia-Pena, where... home field probably means the most.
That's exactly right. So in the South Central Conference, Pena has clinched the championship. They are 8-0. Carlinville and Roxana sitting at 6-2. Litchfield and Hillsborough needing wins next week to get playoff eligible. In the Prairie State Conference last night, in a game heard on FM 106, Mount Olive picked up their fifth win of the year at Nokomis with a 24-7 win. So Mount Olive is now playoff eligible, but in the Prairie State, they will be searching for win number six.
And next week, the other team that's 5-2 is who they play.
That's right. Go figure. Alton Marquette, as Marquette last night defeated Metro East Lutheran 67-18. So that will be a win in your in situation next week between Mount Olive and Marquette. Pawnee undefeated in conference play as they are 6-0 in the Prairie State, now 7-1 overall with a 50-0 romping of Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill started 4-0, and they are now 4-4. South Fork defeated East Alton Wood River last night 32-12, and for South Fork, that was win number two on the year. In the Sangamo Conference, Auburn picked up their fifth win as they defeated New Berlin 40-27. And after a bit of a slow start, Dave Bates and the Trojans starting to play some good football here heading into the postseason.
That was a good win, too, because New Berlin's second in the conference at the time. Only one loss on the season.
Auburn's never a team you want to see this time of year.
Right.
Been that way for years.
You call that a nightmare is what you call.
That's
what?
Exactly
we got to play Auburn now? You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you generally, you look at the schedule like, don't look at that one.
Yeah.
Cross that one off. Forget about that. We're not getting that one. Athens got Williamsville last night in overtime, 36-35. What a ball game there. Good win for the Warriors. Plains defeated Porta 37-7, and Riverton down to Pittsfield 36-31. And, of course, North Mac, non-conference today on the road at Chester.
A ranked team in the state as well.
That'll be an interesting game today for North Mac, is win or lose, this will be a playoff type of atmosphere and a playoff type of test.
And exactly the type of game you need to play late in the season.
That's a nice drive south.
Oh, yeah.
Preparation for the playoff drives.
We talked to Shane Owsley last week, and they got a Cavallo bus, so they're riding in style. They're good to go.
That's bordering on Carmi territory, just the opposite direction. Or just more. Or next to the Missouri border.
I've been to Carmi. I remember Carmelville went down there a number of years ago and played one of the most exciting playoff games I've seen in a long time. 2-point conversion, they stuffed them and won the ball game in overtime.
I've been there too, yeah. It was a drive.
I just remember we're out in the middle of nowhere. Country. I mean, I've lived in the country my whole life. I only know the country. This is what I know. And we're out in the we're in the boonies. I mean, there's just nothing but trees and fields and roads that make our roads look like interstates. And I'm serious. And all of a sudden, six chickens just come from nowhere and cross the road. Where do they come from? There's nothing around. That's Carmi White County.
I just know the guy who was, I think, who was running the press box in the area. He calls me the week of, and he's like, hey, I'm going to be emailing you some directions. I was like, well, I got a GPS. He's like, don't follow that because that'll take you not where you want to go. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, I'll take your directions then.
That's never good.
Yeah.
That's never good.
Carmi has their own cloaking device to hide from everybody. So,
hey, great football atmosphere, though.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday. Big win last night for the Cavvies, and they will be at Litchfield next week with the Panthers looking to get themselves playoff eligible. So we will talk to Chad Easterday of Carlinville following these messages on Sports Saturday.
And WSMI Sports Saturday continues. Back to Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, guys.
Thank you very much, Tito. WSMI Sports Saturday with you. The Illini off this week, so they will be back in action next week as they have. To me, David, Illinois looked good's not the word.
But better?
Better. Different to me. Like, it seems to me.
You look mediocre.
Yes, finally. But it seems like the kids are maybe playing a little harder for the current coach than they did for Tim Beckman.
Yeah,
but it seems to me, I don't know, maybe that's wrong.
Maybe they're healthy and they're able to play. Well, and they're not being forced to play hurt.
The ones who can't play aren't playing?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's not a detriment.
Well,
and
no matter the level, when the kids believe in the head coach, it makes a huge,
huge difference. They're off today, aren't they?
Illinois, they're off today.
Yeah. Who'd they play last week? That wasn't Nebraska last week, was it?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because they got the big win against Nebraska.
They lost at Iowa last week.
That's right. So.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Chad Easterday joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And, Chad, if I'm not mistaken, you are a Cubs fan, right?
I am a Cubs fan by default. That is correct, yeah.
you own it proudly, sir.
That is correct. I have some family members that trained my kids to be Cubs fans.
Oh, no.
So, I jumped on the bandwagon many years ago. So
just makes life a little easier, probably.
That is correct.
Well, Chad, a good win last night on the season, but a historic win for the program. 600 wins now for Carlinville football. You've been around it a long time. Just kind of talk about what that night, what that number just means for the town and the program.
Well, I mean, I think it's a huge accomplishment for our school, our community. As you look back at the records, and we were talking about them throughout the week, and just the tradition that lives in Carlinville for Carlinville football, and for everyone who's ever played, ever been part of it, every volunteer that makes it all go. You can't even start to generate that list of people that are involved in this accomplishment. And like I told the seniors and our whole group of, we didn't build it. We're just responsible for upholding it. So, it was just a big night. I think, for me personally, it was huge because, when you look back over the great coaches that have been here, I'm just happy to be part of that. And to have one back on my staff, again, is another just kind of a neat atmosphere last night.
The old saying is that tradition never graduates. And you guys at Carlinville have really put that to the test. Just year after year, you keep coming in. Is that something I think probably that you guys instill in your players, like you just said, hey, it's not about you or this team. It's about the guys that played 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, Terry's probably laughing over there under his breath. I've had the great pleasure of being around some great programs, not just football programs, in my career, both as a player and not. And you learn that what that tradition is, and you learn it's about unity, it's about family, it's about what we can do together. And when you get kids and players and parents and to believe in that, it just strange things happen,
and
you can't explain them. That's the great thing about it.
And Chad, and just to take that a step further, it goes beyond the game. And that's really what athletics is all about, especially at the high school level, going beyond the game, taking you to the next level of maturity.
You're exactly right. And football is I've always said, is a great teaching tool for that, being able to teach competitiveness, failure. I think the ability to teach failure is huge in life. I believe that you don't learn anything unless you fail at least once or twice just to get it right, for heaven's sake. But, I don't know. I know that it's big in Carlinville, and I love being part of it. And as I tell the kids all the time, I bleed blue. I mean, I used to bleed red and black for years and years and years. And the minute I moved here and got hired, I said, I'm bleeding blue for the rest of my life. So here we are with 600 wins in the program, and you know, to only be 22 in the state is just an overwhelming fact altogether. So,
plus the ability to rub elbows with a couple of Hall of Fame coaches, one that you call dad, and that makes it even that much more special.
Oh, I mean, to think about the ones that I've been around in my career has just been a huge influence on me, anywhere from Lou Finero, Rick Johns, Don Borgini, Dan Easterday. I mean, the list goes on and on. To be coached by another one in another sport with Steve Kimbrough, you know, and then to be on a staff that has multiple head coaches of other things, I think it just makes a huge influence on you and your ability to communicate with kids. And I think it's a big plus for our program.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. There was a Cubs joke in there. I'm just going to let that one slide by about failing once or twice. We'll just move right on from that. But, Chad, we got a huge ball game coming up next week, week number 9. You always play Litchfield the last week of the year, but it's been a long while since you're going to go into a situation where Litchfield needs a win to get playoff eligible.
Yeah, we were discussing that this morning. I'm not so sure that wasn't Coach Elvers' last year. I think we were 5-2 going over there, trying to be 6-6, and maybe 5-3 trying to. They were 4-4, had a great ball game, like a 34-21 ball game. It was freezing cold that night and stuff like that. They're playing very well this year. We have to have our A game as always. So, we want to be 7-2. That greatly increases our chances for a home football game the following week. So the importance level for us is high. It's their senior night. There'll be a big crowd over there. It should be a great atmosphere for football.
And, Chad, I don't know from the inside, but from the outside, it seems like you guys have had a little more adversity this year in terms of what you faced maybe the last several years in terms of injuries at key positions.
Well, we've taken the philosophy of the Patriots or anyone else in the NFL, next man up. It has been an unfortunate season for us in terms of some key players going down. I don't want to take that away from them because they were great players and great key factors for us. But that being said, the group has survived, so to speak, and has overcome those things. And like you said, I think that is a big tribute to our program and to our kids. Even last night we were down 7-0 at halftime. Came back in the second half, made some adjustments, and got things under control and swung the tide our way.
Good deal, Chad. Congratulations on program win number 600 last night, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we are going to catch up with Mount Olive head coach Bill Jones. We will do that following these messages on WSMI.
And WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on here on the 17th day of October. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Myers and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you very much, T-So. The state golf tournament is underway, and from yesterday in the Class A tournament, Hillsborough's Lindsey Storm shot an 84, that tied her for 15th place. In the 1A boys golf tournament, Litchfield's Alex Bishop came in with an 85. That's good for 37th place. And Tyler Sneed shot a 92, tied for 81st. And then you get into the 2A boys golf. Gage Bronze from Greenville shot an 83 and tied for 45th. And, David, I'm always amazed how good the high school golfers are when you get to the state tournament level where you're shooting low 80s and you're basically mid-30s, mid-40s in terms of your positioning.
I could never shoot that well in my life, let alone at the high school level.
When I play my best now as a grown man, I can get around that number.
I don't think I can't. I don't think I can.
And, we've had some top flight golfers come through this area, girls, boys, over the years. And it's just always been, to me, one of the more impressive athletic pieces.
And
when you can shoot a low number.
I believe we had a couple guys again from Hillsborough this year in I think they were in eighth grade. They were champions last year, or champions and runner-up last year, seventh graders. And this year, I think one of them won again. The other one placed something. I could be getting it wrong, so I just won't speak any further on it. But, yes, the golf tradition will continue in this area in the future.
There you go. Also, boys soccer regional tournaments from yesterday. Championship games at Greenville, Belleville, Altoff defeated Woodover 3-0. At Carlisle, it was Modern Day 1, Massac County 0. Modern Day won on penalty kicks, 4-3. Then at T-Town, St. Anthony over Altamont, 3-0. And at Waterloo, Jabot, it was Jabot blanking Freeburg, 6-0.
This has kind of been that first experience of the subsectionals with these regional or postseasons right now. Kind of flying under the radar since they aren't, I guess you could say, the huge sports. We'll get it. We will get a taste of it in basketball season.
Yes, we will. But basketball season is a few months away. Football season is winding down. The postseason is 2 weeks away. And Mount Olive is playoff eligible now with their fifth win last night. We've seen over the last number of years, though, on playoff points, you really need to get to that sixth win out of the Prairie State Conference. And joining us right now on the phone is the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, Bill Jones. And Bill, good morning, sir. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing?
Great, great. Good to be here.
Well, big win last night at Nokomis, a 24-7 win. And with the win, you are playoff eligible. What is the mindset of the team as you make that quest for win number six coming up?
Well, we definitely have a positive attitude going, and kids are working real hard and very excited at this moment.
Have you looked into it? Are you guys really in the belief that if you wind up 5-4, you will not make the playoffs?
I personally have not spent time looking at that. We've just been taking them one at a time and letting the chips fall where they may in that. So we've just been looking week by week at the teams. I haven't taken the time, and maybe this week we'll sit down and look at that a little bit.
Bill, as you look at this season now as a whole, you guys are 5-3. Is this about where you expected your club to be?
You know, going in, we didn't know where we were going to end up. We set a goal at the beginning of the season that we wanted to make the playoffs. So, you know, we thought we had a good ball club here, and we've worked hard, had a positive attitude, and it was our hope to be here.
We just got done talking with Chad Easterday from Carlinville, talking about the tradition and the history of the Carlinville program. The Mount Olive football program, it has a pretty good history as well.
It sure does. It absolutely does. We look at those pictures in the hallway on a daily basis, and quite a tradition, a lot of good football teams here at Mount Olive.
As you look at your matchup coming up next week, Bill, have you had a chance to really dive in it too much?
We haven't. We haven't traded film yet. I know Marquette, they play today, so they still haven't played the ball game. But, you know, we're focused on Nokomis, and now it's time to switch over and start looking at Marquette here. I know they're a good ball club. I know they're a real good ball club.
Bill, let's get a couple of the names of some of your key contributors out. I know for any football team, senior leadership is always important.
Sure. Logan Scheider is a senior on our football team. All-conference ball player last year, having a great season this year. A lot of tackles, a good leader on our football team this year. Great kid. Kids respect him and listen to him.
Bill Jones, the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. And Bill, I know you used to be over at Litchfield, so part of you has to have a smile on your face to see what the Panthers are doing this season.
Absolutely. You got to love the Litchfield Panthers. Having a great season also.
Bill Jones, the head coach of Mount Olive, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we wish you the best of luck next week.
Thank you.
All right, Bill Jones from Mount Olive, and hopefully they can get that sixth win next week and get playoff eligible, because history would suggest that 5-4 in the Prairie State's not going to get it done.
Although,
on the points.
Like Nokomis, they did schedule a couple of tough opponents at the beginning of the season with Trenton Westland and Sullivan Oka Valley, so it'll help their playoff points. But yeah, the sixth win will guarantee them a postseason. It'd be even better because even at 6-3, they're probably facing a first-round road game. It'd be even better if they could, you know, obviously we can look ahead that far, if they could win a first-round road game. That way you'd have a second-round home game and just the atmosphere at Mount Olive for a home football playoff game.
There's going to be a heck of an atmosphere today down in Chester as North Mac is coming into town on a nice old Cavallo bus. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of North Mac, Shane Owsley. Shane, are you guys on the road?
We are definitely on the road, yes.
What time did you leave this morning?
We left at 7:45. We had the players come in and at about 7 o'clock, and parties took care of us, and we got everybody fed, so took off about 7:45 this morning.
And you know, Shane, sometimes these types of situations, these are the types of moments when you're out of school and looking back on it, these are the types of mornings you'll remember, maybe even more than the ball game.
I definitely think so. We got an opportunity to, like I said, get just about everybody on the bus. You know, we're going to have some freshmen and sophomores with some pretty good memories of getting here and eating, you know, the team meal and getting to ride on the nice Cavallo bus. Just, I think, creates a very, very good atmosphere. You know, for our kids, and then just Chester has an amazing playing field for what we've seen, basically being built into a hill and playing on a bowl. So, yeah, it's definitely a situation where our kids are going to have some memories from this.
Shane, as you've looked at Chester on film, what is it that concerns you? What do you see?
Basically that they haven't really been tested at all this year. They've pretty well blown out just about everybody they've played. They've got a Division I linebacker, I believe, that's going to Carbondale. It's about 6'5", 250 pounds, and they line him up at quarterback occasionally and run a little wildcat with him.
Oh, my,
and
man.
Other times, just playing tight end and down blocking on kids. And they're very, very athletic. So, we're looking at this as, just basically a playoff round one game. And fortunately for us, it's not a situation where it's if you don't win, you don't go home. But it's going to give us a really, really good indication on where exactly we stand against some of the best teams in the state.
And I imagine, obviously, it'd be great to get a win today, but priority one this close to the postseason will just be come out of the game healthy.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, our kids set pretty high goals for themselves this year, and they didn't just want to win a conference title, which, fortunately, last night with Auburn knocking off New Berlin, we were going to get to accomplish that feat, but they didn't want to just win the conference. They wanted to win every game they played. So, obviously, health is a number one priority, but I know if you ask any of our players, that winning the game is what we're looking for first.
And, Shannon, it really speaks to the type of great season you guys have had at North Mac, that you've already clinched the Sangamo Conference Championship.
It is, and again, that was something that, again, our kids have never been able to do before, so that's something that they're very, very proud of. But, again, it's not going to be a situation where we want to get it because, of an Auburn victory. It's going to be something that we want to take care of. And, we've got Chester this week, and then we roll into Porta next week. So we want to make sure that we get through, every opponent that we play, unblemished, and make sure that we earn it rather than it being handed to us because of somebody else's victory or loss.
Shannon, don't really hear a lot of background noise. Pretty quiet on that bus ride right now.
Well,
is everybody in the zone, I should say?
They're either in a zone or they're sleepy. It's one of the two. So we've got Friday Night Lights on, and we've got the radio going, and we've got kids paying attention. And I think they realized before we left, this isn't a field trip. This is a business trip, and so far they've treated it as such.
Well, Chad, David K basically took the question right out of my mind. I was going to say bus trips are probably a little quieter than they used to be back in the day, just because of all the different musical devices and various different tablets and whatnot.
Yeah, you don't have to rely on the guy next to you to entertain you. Between phones and iPads and everything else. They've got a lot more stuff in the handheld devices than anybody else could provide entertainment-wise. So, like I said, hopefully it's a situation where we're all focused and we're not just asleep.
Good deal. Shane Owsley, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here on your way to Chester for a big ball game today. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, on their way south to take on Chester, and we wish them the best of luck. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on this Saturday, October 17th. Once again, Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you very much, T-Tote. And we're going to be catching up with Litchfield head coach Pat Rentz here in a moment, as Litchfield picked up a huge win last night at Hillsboro, 18-13. And it was really one of the wilder games that I've seen in a while, with the way that the first half ended, as there was a score late. Hillsboro scored late to tie the game. At 6, about 10 seconds left, Hillsboro goes for the onside squib pooch kick. Is really in
it
vogue.
It sounded
right
like
now.
That was happening all night.
It was all night long. So Hillsboro did that. It bounced off the shoulder pads of one of the Litchfield return men. And, it was like the Immaculate Reception. It went right off of his shoulder pads, midair, picked up in full stride by Brock Boston, who got a little return down to around the Litchfield 40, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it winds up Hillsboro threatening the end zone. Last play of the half goes deep. Incomplete. Half should be over. Litchfield flagged for roughing the passer. Half can't end on a defensive penalty. So Hillsboro gets an untimed down following a false start on Hillsboro that pushed him back 5 yards, mind you, which proved to be rather huge, as Hillsboro throws a pass play. Diving catch by Caleb Jackson at the 1. Half over.
Just that kind of night.
Just that kind of night. Litchfield dodged a bullet there, and joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Pat Rentz. And Pat, so much to get to about the ball game last night, but I guess first things first, good morning.
Good morning. And I'm patched through to you guys here, and I hear you talking about that last pass play down to the 1 yard line. Man, I think that took a couple years off my life right there.
And if that took a couple years off your life, the way the game ended had to put him right back on. What a heck of a finish. And, Pat, just to start here, I have never seen what you guys did at the end of the ball game. Just take me through it. You guys, players and coaches, walked off the field arm in arm. I've never seen that before.
You know, that's been a tradition of our program that we've started that last year. And to be honest, we call it our unity walk, and the message to the guys is that we actually do it right when we get off the bus or when we at a home game. We go out about 5:15 and we start the game as a team, playing for each other, not as a group of individuals, but as a team. And then we end the game the same way, as a team. And, you know, win or lose, whether it was ugly or awesome, you know, doesn't matter. That, you know, that's how we play the game. And so it's just kind of become a special tradition for Litchfield football.
And that was the definition of a team win for you last night, Pat. Just so many different factors. Your defense was sensational. And when your offense had to make plays, boy, did you make them.
Yeah, it was. It was a great game. You know, we knew it was going to be a playoff atmosphere, and you know, it was a type of a matchup where we knew one side of the ball, offense, defense, or special teams, couldn't win the game. You know, it had to be a complete game, and all sides kind of showed up when we needed it and executed.
Well, I'm just going to say, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you're calling the offensive plays now, right?
That's correct. That was the switch we had made this year.
And I thought so. So the decision for the game-winning touchdown to go with a halfback pass, I mean...
On fourth down.
That's a gutsy play call.
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of sitting on that one for a couple weeks. And, of course, been practicing it, just waiting for the right time. And, you know, we have an option attack this year, and a lot of that option involves pitches and, of course, dives with Connor right up the middle or David running to the outside. And that play, that speed option, is, of course, a play that we like to hit Connor. And so on a fourth and short, you know, there was just kind of this thought that, you know, they're going to know it's going to Connor. They're going to know we're going to try to hit off the edge. And, you know, you kind of roll the dice on those plays and proud of the young men for making it look like the right play call.
Absolutely. And it was actually Hillsborough had a defender on Louis. Connor made a perfect pass, and then Louis made a sensational catch. It was just better offense.
It was perfectly executed. You know, we were actually just watching it morning film, and the guys were kind of laughing like, man, how did Connor throw that? That was perfect. You know, it was. It was great.
And I mentioned last night at the start of the ball game, Josh Frank, he's been in the South Central Conference, so he's played Hillsborough a lot of times, but he's never experienced the Litchfield-Hillsborough aspect of it. And I thought he was your defensive MVP last night. He was all over the place.
Yeah, you know, we were talking before the game, Josh and I, and he even said, he's like, well, let's see if this really is the best rivalry in the SEC. You know, so he was pretty excited and pretty pumped. And, you know, I think he got a good taste of what Litchfield-Hillsborough is like. And, you know, he brings that level of physicality to our defense and gets some big stops and big hits, and he's just having fun playing football the way it's supposed to be played.
And Pat, I don't know that this has anything to do with it, but 2 years ago you played Hillsborough at 3-4 and got beat pretty soundly. Does it say anything about where the program is from then to now that basically 2 years later, same situation, you get a huge road win?
You know, I think it does, and that's not a reflection of where the team wasn't 2 years ago, because if you remember, you know, 2 years ago, to be in a position of at 3-1 fighting for the playoffs was a huge step mm-hmm. for us. And so, you know, credit to those guys who really kind of started to lay that foundation of, hey, we're going to go out, we're going to compete, we're going to expect to win, and really kind of got that ball rolling, and now it's been good to see that this group of guys have taken that next step of, okay, we're thrilled to be here, but we want to finish the job. We want to take care of business.
And it just seems like since you've been at the top spot, Pat, that Pat, from the outside, there does seem to be a different feel and just a different sense around the Litchfield team. And a game like last night, to me, really shows it. A good, hard-fought game where, you know, it could have gone bad for you guys, but you kept fighting.
You know, we've played in several tight games, and fortunately have been on the winning side of those games. And And I have to give a ton of credit to the young men. I mean, those guys are fighting hard. They're playing with so much passion, and they're really enjoying the process of working hard through the week, fighting for each other on Friday nights and not giving up and facing that adversity. And the coaching staff as well, you know, they've been preparing hard and trying to get us in a position to be successful. And whether that's managing injuries or substitutions, who's in or out, or, you know, game time adjustments from the press box, or, you know, preparing a defense. I mean, it's just a good feeling right now. Things are going the right way for us, and just proud of the young men and the coaching staff.
And you all have a chance last week of the regular season to win and get playoff eligible with the points, probably get into the postseason. Just talk about what it means, not necessarily for the program, but just for you and the kids to have a chance to play for postseason the last week of the year.
You know, it's a great feeling to be here going into week 9. Of course, you know, everybody has that goal of we want to be in a spot where we can make the playoffs by the end of the year. And so to be here in week 9, knowing that, you know, to some extent we control our own destiny is a good feeling. And the boys are excited. They're hungry. You know, it's not going to be an easy task, just like we knew last night was not going to be an easy task. But Carlinville's a good program. You know, they're kind of on the opposite spectrum as a program where they are a perennial powerhouse and playoff contender, and so they know how to compete, and they know how to win, and they know how to finish the season off, and so it's going to take a good week of preparation and execution on Friday night.
Lloyd Hill Field's always a great atmosphere on any given Friday night, Pat, but I can only imagine what it's going to be like coming up on this Friday night.
I totally agree. You're right. It's been exciting for every home game, even if it's just homecoming or just a regular season home game. But yeah, the community of Litchfield is fired up, and the fans are traveling well, the student section's rowing the boat and having fun, so it's an exciting time.
It may end up feeling like a second homecoming week, to be honest.
It could. It really could. That would certainly be okay with me, so.
Pat, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Great win last night. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
All right, Pat Rince, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and that was pure joy last night. You could see it on the faces of all the coaches, of all the players. As soon as that clock hit triple zeros, handshakes, smiles, hugs. I mean, it was an excellent, excellent feeling for them.
I don't remember the last time, it's been so long, that they've been at least 500 this late in the season. I mean, just, yeah, all the credit in the world to Pat and his staff for getting the program back to where it was earlier in the 2000s.
Hey, you look at the way the sports year has been, it's the year for the team that hasn't been there in a long time to rise up and do something special.
Right.
We're seeing it all across baseball.
Yeah.
So,
why
not?
First Major League Baseball champion in at least 20 years, and yeah, why not the Panthers?
Hey, exactly. And you know, if you're Litchfield, why wouldn't that be your mantra, besides row the boat, which is fantastic?
Yeah.
But why not them?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, you watch Litchfield play. I watched Litchfield play this year. They just look different. They've got the size up front that they haven't really had in years past. They are a tough, physical, hard-nosed team. And how long has it been since we've been able to say that about Litchfield?
It's been a while, yeah. It's probably going back to the Mark Elvers regime, at least, and maybe even further into the middle of his regime, back to their last playoff run, probably.
That's going to be a lot of fun next week. And what a doubleheader we have on the Tally Broadcasting Stations next week. Playoff implications all over the place. We got Litchfield, Carthenville. That'll be live on 105.3 The Ox. And then Hillsborough traveling to Pena. That'll be live here on FM 106. Of course, the Tailgate Show will get a set beginning at 6:30. We'll stream it all online at WQSMIRadio.com. And for Pena and Carthenville, it's all about playoff seeding and positioning. For Hillsborough and Litchfield, you got to win just to get in. And for the third straight year now, Hillsborough has to beat Pena to get into the playoffs.
Don't count them out.
They've split 1-1 the first two times.
Pena struggled last night against Vandalia. They even struggled against Litchfield a couple weeks ago at home until they found their stride in the second half. Hillsborough could get them.
Absolutely. And the way that Hillsborough's played the last 2 weeks, they've really shot themselves in the foot. They've put a lot of footballs on the ground. They've lost some of those. They're going to be angry and agitated going into Pena, and that's not a bad way to head into Pena. That's a pretty good way to go.
Probably goes back 3 weeks because they've lost three in a row. I think Vandalia was the other one where they just dug themselves into a deep hole, made kind of a comeback, but ultimately fell short. So, you know they're going to be hungry for this win, especially getting to the postseason last year. They know they're in the exact same position this year. They want that win. So.
It's been that type of year in the South Central Conference. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
And just a reminder, we'll have more Cardinals baseball coming up beginning next March on WSMI AM 1540.
Around the corner.
And the new.
Hey.
And the new 106.9.
Well, you know, Terry, on Friday night when I was promoting the fact that we had 106.9 last Friday night when the Cardinals were still in the playoffs and they had won the game, I almost said, well, we're guaranteed to have at least four Cardinal postseason games. And I didn't say it because I thought, why would I say that? And then I'll be darned if they didn't lose three straight. And that's four straight years now. Every year under Mike Matheny, they have lost three games in a row to be pushed out of the playoffs.
Funny how that works.
But it's always, you know, for a season that's so long, guys, it's always amazing how quick it's over. Saturday morning, the Cardinals had a 1-0 lead in the series. Tuesday night, their season was over.
Yeah.
It was over.
Yeah. That's
just like that.
It's baseball.
Yeah. That's baseball. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And you listen to Adam Wainwright getting interviewed yesterday. He was frustrated just because right now he said his arm was in first game of the season mode right now just because he had been training to get back so much that his arm was ready. It was like the last few outings of the season were like spring training games. He's ready for the start of the season right now.
I'm telling you right now, go Cubs, go.
See, I can't do it.
You can't do it?
I can't do it. I thought I would be able to do it.
Number one, I will not root for the Mets.
Yeah, I can't root for the Mets either, to be honest.
I'm telling you.
I can't root for the Mets. I can't stand the Blue Jays.
And I'm telling you, the best baseball played for the whole year was in the Central Division of the National
League.
That's
right. That's right.
The best and the hottest team.
The Mets made that acquisition of Cespedes, boy, the Cubs and the Mets have been the two best teams since that deal went down.
And they're talking about Kansas City, Toronto being a great ALCS, but I think the National League Championship Series is going to be
epic.
You know, knocked down, out, epic.
Yeah. After the Yankees lost the wild card game, Major League Baseball is ecstatic that the National League ended up the way it did just because you had the Cardinals, Cubs playing, the Mets and the Dodgers playing, and no matter who was going to win either series, the NLCS was going to be huge.
The National League playoffs has been spectacular.
Yeah.
Truly spectacular, but I can't root for the Cubs. I'm not rooting against them.
Sure.
Like, if they win the whole thing, you know, it'll be a cool scene, but I can't do it. I can't actively sit there and root for the Cubs during a baseball game. I did it late in the year when they were playing the Pirates, and I felt dirty. It just was so foreign to me. I can't do it. And you know what? I know enough Cubs fans.
Sure.
They don't root for the Cardinals when they're in the playoffs. I don't care what they say now. They don't. They root against them. You know why? Because they're rivals. Now that they've played in the playoffs, and the fact that they beat the Cardinals probably has something to do with it. But to me, it's no longer friendly.
There's not a single.
I hate the Cubs.
Well,
and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Well, you know, the friendly rivalry is probably gone.
I think
it's
so.
It's just a rivalry.
And
although I don't think the rivalry will ever denigrate to the point of Boston and New York.
And
be just downright nasty because Midwesterners are not like that.
Well, you think that now. They meet in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years.
Well,
and one team's ending the other season's team season multiple years in a row. That's going to change things.
John Lester's not going to throw Mike Matheny to the ground or something.
Well,
Pedro Martinez did.
Well, and this just goes to show you, number one, the Cardinals who had the best record in baseball, it means nothing.
It never does.
It never does. And there were some glaring, troublesome spots, especially in that last month of the season.
Too many injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my first thoughts after they lost was, well, I guess that makes up for the 83-win World Championship team in 06.
Yeah.
You know, it all evens out.
Sure it does. So, but I
and Back to the Future 2 called it.
Well, yeah.
Cubs won in 2015, beating Miami. So they had two predictions right.
Yeah.
Because there was no Miami baseball team back then. But just remember, for those of you who have been banking on Back to the Future 2 just being spot on, can't be wrong.
Wow.
They are also promoted the fact that we'd be waiting for Jaws 19 to come out.
Yes.
So, we're waiting for what, 5?
Wasn't quite all
or
there.
6.
But it is eerie. And you can't help but think, watching the Cubs play, everything's breaking their way finally.
Yep.
You know what? Over the last whatever it's been, however many 107 years. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You think of that Cardinals series, that Baez comes in, makes a couple of errors, didn't cost him. Mm-hmm. In years past, a home run's deposited, they're losing the game, the sky is falling. But Madden's pushing all the right buttons, they're getting the big hits, they just look prime.
And I, you know, good pitching will always stop good hitting. And I think the, you know, Lester's good, Arrieta's been great, been unbelievable, but the Mets pitching is just so solid.
It's great.
They are scary good right now.
I don't know that good pitching matters in that ballpark right now. That ballpark.
Good pitching always matters. Good pitching always matters.
It always plays.
It always,
see, the Cardinals didn't pitch well in the series.
No.
They didn't pitch well.
No, they were terrible.
If the Mets pitch well, they'll win the series, just based on the history of baseball.
And if the Cubs pitch well, they're going to the World Series.
Yeah,
you know.
One thing that goes underrated in that series is something the Cardinals struggle with all year, and it's getting the pitcher out. Because if they get Jason Hamill out in that inning, Baez doesn't come up with anyone on.
Well,
and doesn't hit that home
that's
run.
That's just the least of their worries.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but they have to have – pitchers have to have the best batting average against the Cardinals pitching.
It does seem like they give up. They did this year.
Yeah, they gave up so many hits to the pitchers this year.
Well, you know, you can't be gassed going into September.
Can't be. You can't be. And when you rely on the same three relievers all season long, this is what happens.
Well, we talked about it all year, what was going to be the injury that was going to put him up over the top. It looked like Carlos Martinez.
That was the
injury that did it.
I mean, they were running on fumes before then, but once he wasn't available, I mean, he would have made a huge difference in that series.
Yeah.
He would have pitched game four.
Yeah.
Maybe game three.
Probably game three,
maybe game two. Because if Martinez was pitching well and Jaime goes to Matheny and says, hey, I'm not feeling so well, we'll sit you because Waka and Lynn aren't pitching well, but we have Martinez.
That's another story for another. That's awful.
Yeah.
You got a guy who's mentally weak, comes to you and says that he's sick. Let's run him out there anyway. I'm sure he'll be fine. Hasn't slept for 2 days. No worries. He's Jaime Garcia. It's not Chris Carpenter. You know,
well,
really?
They both did have the same surgery.
Hey, did the
Cardinals have the thoracic outlet?
Does Lackey come back?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think he's going to be a Cub.
It's possible because
because
I think there's interest there by the Cubs, and Lester and Lackey are really close.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll re-sign Hayward.
Yeah, that's priority
one.
I
don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think so?
I do not think that's going to happen.
Interesting.
No, sir.
Think he'll price himself out?
Yes, I do.
Well, he did play really well in the second half of the season, and he had a really good October.
The Cardinals got money to spend, though.
They got
money coming off the books. They got a big TV contract.
They do, and they don't have anybody. They have like $14 million committed beyond 2017. So they've got a lot of payroll.
Piscotty proved he can play first base. Piscotty's your first baseman going into next year. If you get Hayward locked up in right field.
Maybe, because there's also the possibility, should they not sign Hayward, they may go out and get like a Chris Davis at first base and Piscotty being right. There's a possibility Piscotty could be an outfielder next year. It's going to depend on the moving
pieces. Well, and I think you have to, as Cardinal fans, you have to realize that Yadier Molina is getting older.
Yep.
Matt Holliday's getting older.
Yeah. They've got
you need
their,
a shortstop.
Yeah,
they've got it. Peralta's getting
older. Could people
older.
Please stop suggesting Matt Holliday play first base? This is such a stupid idea.
They might actually legitimately try it this offseason.
Do you want Matt Holliday fielding a bunt, trying to scoop a low throw out of the dirt from third base? No, he can barely catch a ground ball in left field.
maybe he would be better in the infield. Who knows?
No way.
They will at least
Are you saying he would be Pedro Alvarez-like?
I'm saying he would make Pedro Alvarez win gold gloves.
They will at least explore it in the offseason.
I don't think
so. That's the time to
work on it. Don't mince words, Tim. How do you really feel about it?
I don't think you can play first base. That's how I really feel about it.
That's the time to work on it when there's no games and they don't matter is the offseason. Right now, if they're going
to try
gonna
play first base. He's
never
going
to play
first
base. Never going to do it. He can't do it. I just have this image of Matt Holliday fielding a bunt, wheeling the throw to second, and winding somewhere in the outfield. Like Jaime Garcia, perhaps.
The Coca-Cola Pavilion.
Oh, that's exactly. I didn't think I'd get a souvenir up here.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, I'm not rooting against the Cubs. I say good luck to them, but I personally, I can't do it. I don't wish them ill will.
Yeah.
That'll be a party if they get it done.
Oh my goodness.
Cardinals do have their catcher of the future, by the way.
Do they?
I think Carson Kelly. This kid I was telling you about. Because right now, he's turned into a defensive whiz. He's got power. He's just got to work on the contact ability, which is something Molina did at the major league level. Yeah. He couldn't hit until a couple of years into the major league. So
that's true. LaRusso always said he can bat zero and still be my catcher.
They drafted him as a third baseman. He wasn't hitting well enough to stay at third, so they moved him to catcher. He's turned out to be a great defensive catcher. He's still just a few years away, though, because he's only like 20 years old.
There you go. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back with you, of course, next week, and the regular season of high school football will be over. How about that? For Tito, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WUSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.